weren't too many of you, you know, doing this when she was talking about, you know, woo, sharing it with the whole family. Because women, we know we do that, right? But secretly, we also know that the men in our lives do the same thing, right? Can I get a witness out there? Emotions, they can land us all over the place. We can be deliriously happy one day, incredibly sad and melancholy the next, to intense anger and hatred the next day. And Lord forbid the people around us when all of those emotions happen in one day, in one hour, or in one moment, right? Emotions can lead us into conversations and places and things that we don't even want to go. Intense emotions, they can be exhausting. Earlier this week, I did an incredibly scientific study and research about people's fears. I crowdsourced Facebook. So if Facebook says it, we know it's true. And here's what I found that people fear. They fear losing control of situations, the unknown. Many of us, notice I say us, are afraid of spiders. There's a fear of rejection. Many people listed being afraid of something happening to their children. Some said becoming ill, and they have no insurance. Fear of not being able to handle finances in a healthy way. Some have a fear of heights, of flying on airplanes, a fear of small places, the fear of needles, thunder and lightning. And if thunder and lightning is your fear, you know, I prayed for you yesterday because it was a pretty intense storm for most of the day. This, obviously, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's a good start. I can identify with several of the ones that were listed. A fear of heights. Three rungs on a ladder, I'm wobbly-kneed, right? Many of you know that I chaplain with the Zanesville Fire Department, and you know how much I love my guys, and they love me, and they're so nice, and they try to give me so many experiences. Several times, several of them have offered that, you know, I can climb the aerial ladder anytime I want. And, I thank them for that, but I'm like, no, I'm good. My feet are planted right here. I'm good. When I was a young girl, we used to go camping at this Campfire Girls camp. I loved being a part of Campfire Girls. You know, because there were no boys there, sorry, boys, we made our own campfires, right? To this day, many times I can do a campfire better than military men. I'm just saying. So the gauntlet is thrown. But we would go camping, and Camp Shawano is a place, it kind of sits a little high in elevation. It's above Kaiser Lake State Park, which is close to St. Paris, Urbana, Springfield, if that gives you a geographical location. And it is storm Mecca. So one day we're doing this survival weekend, we're heading out to Foxfire, and as we're, you know, trotting along, it's raining, and it begins to storm. And lo and behold, right on the trail, up in front of us, probably 50 feet, a tree got struck by lightning. Scary sight. There was another day when we were at camp, and this was family camp week, and we were in the Jim Davis Lodge. It's a big old red barn, and that's where families would go when it would rain. And one of the families, Lil, she was there, and her husband wasn't, so she was on the phone talking to him. And in the midst of the phone conversation, Lil kind of did this, and she had just gotten struck by lightning through the phone. So thunderstorms, I have a little fear of them, some healthy, some not so healthy. Yesterday, a good friend called to say, you know, Nancy, please tell me you're at home and you're not out running around in this storm. And I said, no, I'm home, but I don't like to be on the phone during storms, so can I call you back later? And she let me do that. So, and then there's spiders. To this day, I don't know why God made them so creepy. God can make everything, and God can make things beautiful, but he made, in my humble opinion, spiders incredibly creepy. You know, especially when my military friends, when they tell me about the spiders, you know, over in Afghanistan and Iraq that do this at you, back, oh, no. Camel spiders? Uh-uh. No way. I don't even want to think about them. Again, I think this fear came from camp because we had wolf spiders everywhere. They're big. They're hairy. They have eight eyes. They don't look like they're from this world. I know that they have a place in the created order. I know that their webs, they are stunning and they're beautiful and they help keep the bug population down. And then they're good food for other birds and for frogs and different animals that are out there. But I can't help but just admit they're creepy and they freak me out and I'm afraid of them. Thank goodness that life is more than a feeling. From the first book of Genesis to the last book of Revelation, the Bible talks about fear. In fact, fear is talked about over 670 times in the Bible. If God talks about fear that often, that's a lesson that God wants us to pay attention to. Here are just a few examples of people in the Bible who were afraid. Abraham was twice afraid that Sarah would be taken and he would be killed. So he told a half-truth or a lie that she was his sister. Moses, he was reluctant to leave behind the safety of his shepherd life in the backcountry of Midian to answer God's call to go back to Egypt and to confront the mighty Pharaoh with God's command to free the Israelites. The thought of confronting the Pharaoh filled Moses with fear. The 10 scouts, they didn't trust God to lead them into the promised land of Canaan. And this helped to cause the Israelites to waste 40 years in the wilderness before finally being allowed to enter Canaan. David and Bathsheba, David experienced great anxiety when he realized what he had done and that he had to face God. Elisha's servant, Elisha was being pursued by King Aram, and this terrified his servant. The rich young ruler, he was afraid and unwilling to give up the comfort of his wealthy lifestyle to follow Jesus. And then let us not forget Pilate. Pilate was apparently more than unnerved by his encounters with Christ. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, 8, Pilate says that, or it says that Pilate was even more afraid when the centurion and those guarding Jesus saw what happened at his death. They were terrified. Jonah, he ran away from God and the mission that God had for him to preach to the people of Nineveh. Let's take a closer look at Jonah and his fears. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to open them up to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to look at verse 10, or you can look it up on your phone or follow along in your sermon notes. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and he went on board to go with them, away from the presence of the Lord. Then the men, they were even more afraid. And they said to Jonah, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. You see, Jonah, he was a Hebrew who feared God. Nineveh was a major city in Assyria. This time happened about 770 BC. And Jonah's fear and his pride, it caused him to run from God. He does not wish to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to the people as God has commanded. Have you ever had those people in your life that God says, you know, "Nancy, I want you to go and talk with so-and-so," or, you know, "Doug, Tim, I want you to go and talk with so-and-so," and you're in your mind, you're thinking, "Lord, I am not going there. They have been mean to me. They've hurt me. They're evil. They're my enemy. I am not going." That's exactly where Jonah is. Jonah's thinking, surely, God, you love me more than them. And the hard part was learning that God loves all of us the same. Jonah doesn't want to go and preach that. It fills him with fear. It also, he has kind of this attitude that God's really not going to do that if I don't go. It will be okay. But you know the story. Instead, Jonah boards that ship to go in the opposite direction, to go to Tarshish. Soon, a raging storm creeps up, and it causes the crew to cast lots, and they determine that Jonah is the one who is creating this storm from God. It's Jonah's fault. And out of their own fear, they throw Jonah overboard. Can you imagine that you're in a ship in raging sea waters? If you ever watch Deadliest Catch, think of Deadliest Catch, right, in raging sea waters, and the ship is just going up and down, and waves are crashing. And this is what they throw Jonah over in. I can't imagine being so afraid of someone that you're willing to risk their life, that you just throw them overboard. We know that Jonah gets swallowed up by a big fish, and he repents of his sin in 3 days, and that big fish vomits him up on dry land. And then Jonah makes the 500-mile trip to Nineveh, and he leads the city in a great revival. So let me ask you, what's your Nineveh? What do you fear? Do you know? Inside of your bulletin on the sermon note page, there is a place where you can write down your fear or your fears. You can do a little self-examination, and you can answer the question, why are you afraid? And what do you think would happen if you faced your fear? I'm going to give you a moment to pull those out and to write down what it is that you fear. Why are you afraid? And what do you think will happen if you faced your fear? So I'm going to just give you a quick minute to complete those lines. Okay, if you want to come back in 3, 2, 1. Famous actor and comedian Will Smith, he has a video talking about fear that has gone viral. In it, he is describing the first time that he jumped out of a perfectly good airplane at 14,000 feet. You know what he's doing, right? He's about to go skydiving with his friends for the very first time. Well, let me tell you, when I was a rec supervisor at Yellowstone, one of the things that we did was people could sign up, and we took them over to a trip to go skydiving. We also did a rafting trip and stuff, and I said, hey, guys, if you don't mind, my employees, I'll take the rafting trip. You all can flip and take the skydiving trip, you know, and they were like, sweet. So Clay was so excited because Clay was going to be the one to take everybody parachuting, and then bam, I can't remember what happened, but something happened with Clay. He couldn't go, and so he said, Nancy, I'm sorry, I can't go. Will you go? Okay, sure, I'll go, but I am not skydiving. Are you sure you don't want to go? It's an opportunity for you to go for free. And he was like, he couldn't go. So I went. And the people there, they were so nice. They were like, you want to go skydiving? I was like, no, thanks, I'm good. I'm good right here on the ground. They really tried to encourage me, and I thought, no, I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good airplane unless it's on fire, right? If it's on fire or it's about to crash, then I'll find the courage. But just to do it, no way. You know, as I was reminded by a friend after first service, that the other side of that is that I'm also letting a perfectly good parachute go to waste, right? Isn't that right, Doug? But I will let the parachute go to waste, and I will stay on the ground. But Will Smith, he talks about this, and he says that when you go up, you know, and you're standing out there on the edge, the doors open wide, and you got your parachute, and he's doing a tandem parachute because it's his first time, and he says, the instructor says, we're going to go on three. And he says, one, two, and he shoves you out, right? Or you get shoved out with him, three. And he said, because if they wait until three, people do this, and then people get hurt. But he talks about how once he faced that fear, how things changed. And I think he perfectly describes how fear takes hold of your body, and then what happens turns to amazement. This is what Will Smith says. You realize that the point of maximum danger is minimum fear. It's bliss. The best things in life are on the other side of terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are all of the best things in your life. I love this description of letting go of fear. Listen again. You realize that the point of maximum danger is minimum fear. It's bliss. The best things in life are on the other side of the terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are all of the best things in your life. The best things in life are on the other side of your terror. The other side of storms is sunshine. It's rainbows. The other side of spiders, maybe it's a bird eating it, was the best I could come up with. The best things in life are the other side of terror. The Bible, it has a lot to say about being afraid. The Bible mentions two specific types of fear. The first type of fear is beneficial, and it is to be encouraged. The second type of fear, it's a detriment, and it is good to overcome those fears. The first type of fear is fear of the Lord. Now, I don't mean like be afraid God's going to hurt you. I don't mean that kind of fear. This type of fear, it's that reverential awe of God, a reverence, a respect and admiration for God's immense power and glory. I imagine it's what the people feel like when, you know, you can go to the Grand Canyon and now there's this huge glass walkway. And you can go out and you can walk on this glass walkway and you see osprey flying underneath you. You see birds flying underneath you. You look down and you see this huge cavern that if you weren't on that walkway or if that walkway breaks, it can take your life, right? But it's you realize how incredibly grand God is. And the beauty and the majesty that only God can do. And it fills you with that sense of awe. That's that kind of reverential fear of God that the Bible is talking about. It's the fear, it's total acknowledgement that God is everything. And God is so much bigger than we can even begin to imagine. Fear of the Lord, it brings with it many blessings and benefits. We are told in the Psalms that it is the beginning of wisdom and that it leads to good understanding. Fear of the Lord, it leads to life, to rest, peace, and contentment. It is the fountain and life, and it provides security and a place of safety for us. God says hundreds of times in hundreds of ways, fear not. What do you do when your fears seem to be winning the day? What if you pray and God doesn't come through? If you are like most people, you begin to lose hope and you wonder, why did you even bother to pray in the first place? And deep in the soil of your heart, the seeds of doubt take root. And if we water it, they grow up into a harvest of frustration and anger and fear. One of the most common phrases in the Bible is, don't be afraid, fear not. Think of the Christmas story. of the angels that come and they visit with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. What's the first thing that the angels say? Fear not. Right? Fear not. Why? Because when that angel of glory appears before them, they are filled with the reverent fear and also, I'm sure, with that terror fear. But the angels reassure them, fear not. The Bible offers us a balance of fear and love in our relationship with God. Pastor Adam Hamilton says it this way, the antidote to fear is faith. When we have faith in God, when we trust that God is going to be with us throughout all of our circumstances, faith in God, it doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. I'm sure for Jonah, spending 3 days in the pit, in the belly of a big fish, was not a pleasant experience. I'm sure when he got thrown up onto the beach, he didn't smell so good, right? It was not an experience that he would have signed up for. But yet, it was in the depth where he found peace with God. It was in that depth where he turned fear into courage and into faith. In the book of Joshua, the Israelites, they are going into the promised land. They are going to face fortified cities, people who are like giants to them. They are going to go and they're going to face wars, battles, and tragedies. There's not a war or a battle that's not a tragedy, depending on what side you're on and on all sides. God doesn't keep them from these life experiences. God doesn't say that they are not going to face great life challenges. Listen to what God says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law, it shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God commands us to be strong and courageous and reminds us that our Lord, our God, is with us wherever we go. Wherever I go, God is right by my side. I never became more aware of this than I did when I chaplained at Dayton Children's Hospital. When I chaplained at Dayton Children's Hospital, this was way back in the day where you wore pagers, and if something happened and someone needed a chaplain, you would get paged, right? And so you'd call the operator. Sometimes the operator could tell you a little bit about what was going on with the family or the situation that you were about to go into. More oftentimes than not, they didn't have a good description, or the description that they were given when you got there, it was blown up and it was something totally different, right? The operators can only give you what they know. And so I quickly learned that lesson. And instead of going into each situation with fear, because when I walk in, I'm supposed to be the representative of hope, I would start to say this mantra as I would walk down the halls, and I would say, okay, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, here we go. And I would say that the whole way down the hall. Okay, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, here we go. It was a reminder to me that when I walked in those rooms, I never went alone, that God was with me. And it gave me the strength and the courage that I needed to help the family with whatever situation that they faced. You know, there's a name for that, right? It's called Emmanuel. God is with us. When I walked into those hospital rooms, Emmanuel God is with us. When my firefighters, when they walk into a fire or onto an accident scene, Emmanuel, God is with them. When you go home and you walk into your kids' rooms and they're fighting and you don't know what to do because they just fight all the time, Emmanuel, God is with you. When we receive news from the doctor that we really don't want to hear, Emmanuel, God is with us. When we fear for our children's safety or their decisions, Emmanuel, God is with us. When we face our fears of jumping out of an airplane at 14,000 feet, Emmanuel, because you realize that the point of maximum danger is minimum fear. It's bliss. The best things in life are on the other side of terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are all of the best things in your life. The antidote to fear is faith. Emmanuel, God is with us. Thank goodness life is more than a feeling. Well, here are your steps of faith for this week. Acknowledge your fears. What are your fears? And just write them down. Acknowledge them to yourself. Place your fears in the hands of God. Maybe you need to visualize that. You need to visualize placing your fears into the hands. If you're an artist, maybe you need to draw the hands of God and you putting your fears inside of there. Write Joshua 1:9 on a sticky note and put it where you can see it every day to remind you to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Would you pray with me, please? Most holy and gracious God, we do thank you that you remind us that while there is a healthy respect of reverent awe and fear of you, that more than that, equal to that, you tell us to fear not, to not be afraid because of Emmanuel. God is with us, that you are with us through whatever we face. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of this time with one another. It is in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our advisor, our counselor, and our friend, God, that we turn this time back to you. And let us all say together, Amen.
Good morning, church. My name's Kelly Morrow, and I'm so glad to be here to worship with you today. At this time, I'd like to ask that you take out your connection cards. As most of you know, here at Rolling Plains, one of our core values is people matter. This connection card is a tool that we use to find out more about the people that make up Rolling Plains. It's also a tool we use to help people reach some of our other core values, such as practical service, personal transformation. So please take the time to update this. And also let us know if it's okay to contact you by text from time to time. In addition, if you have questions about making Jesus Christ your personal Savior, about baptism, or about becoming a member of Rolling Plains Church, please indicate that on the back of the card as well. One last thing, if today's your first day at Rolling Plains, please stop at the back of the sanctuary before you leave and we'll have a special gift for you. At this time, if we could have our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and offerings.